Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, angels and saints, kings and queens, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I'm so excited. It's the Friday before Christmas. And it's also the third Friday of the month, and that means we have one of our favorite people on today, Mr. Robert Bowden, Executive Director of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. Good morning, Robert. Thanks for coming.
Good morning to you, too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. I got to get over there because I got the feeling that it's just really, really all done up over there at the Gardens.
It's the garden house. Our entrance building is well decorated, and
wonderful.
There's some things going on. You know, the Lou House Museum is still closed from Hurricane Irma, but I can tell you that the camellias, which we're probably best known for, those big bushes with these large red or white or pink blossoms. You know, this is the third largest collection of that plant in North America. So we're really proud of that. And it loves to grow in Central Florida. Mr. Lou somehow learned that, and he planted a lot of different varieties. Right now we have over 700 varieties of camellias growing at the gardens. And many of them are, some are at full peak right now. And then some, mm-hmm. the really big ones, are just starting to grow and start to bloom right now. So it's a great time to visit, and might I add, an affordable place to go in Central Florida. There's so many places that you can go for dinner or a theme park, and it can get a little pricey pretty quick, but Blue Gardens is only $10 a head, so that's not bad. You can't buy a hot dog at the theme park for that.
No, and if you're in the area regularly, you can go multiple times if you get that family membership. That's pretty good, especially if you're going to the movies on the first Friday.
You know, I suspect at some time today we're going to be talking about gifts that you can give to gardeners. And I've got a wonderful list that we can talk about. But, of course, number one at the top of my list is a membership to Lou Gardens. It's only $50 for the family, $50 for the entire family. And it also comes with, so when you buy that pass, you can visit the gardens as many times as you like for free. And then if you attend some of the classes or some of the special events, then there's a discount on that too. But the most important thing, I think, is that you get 4 free day admission passes. So you can come in on your pass, and then you have 4 passes. So if you got friends in from out of town, or you want to visit later on in the year, you have 4 passes, and each one of those passes is worth $10. So in reality, the family pass only costs you $10. It's a pretty good deal.
It is.
You've been to the movies the first Friday of every month. Those are free for members, and you get VIP parking with that. So,
And that is really
that's
good.
That's number one on my gift list, that's for sure. Yep.
Because if you've ever seen the parking on that, that's pretty good to get the membership parking, I have to say. So.
Yeah, because it's quite a hike the other way.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, good exercise, but still, I prefer to go ahead and park close and then get the exercise in the garden. So.
Yeah, you know, and we're finding that, you know, the doors open at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie starts at 7:30. Well, people are, you know, they're laying down their blankets and they're putting up their chairs and they're having a little dinner, and then they go out and tour the gardens, or tour the gardens first, and then go out and you know, come back and see the movie. So, and that and that goes on every month. So that's a pretty good deal.
It is. And it's just nice and relaxing. We've enjoyed it. We haven't taken advantage of it that much this year as we did last year. We've been kind of busy, but definitely getting back out there for sure.
Yeah.
But
so go ahead.
No, go ahead. Because I have a question. It's a different subject.
I was going to say, it is one of those affordable things that you can do in town. You know, there's, you know, the Art Museum, there's the Morse Museum, there's the Manila Museum, the Science Center. There's a lot of things you can do in Orlando that don't include expensive tickets. So it'd be great if your listeners had an opportunity to, because, you know, there's great restaurants in that area. So you could visit two or three different places and have a nice lunch and make a great day of it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So I want to get to a question I had in terms of do you make New Year's resolutions in terms of the garden, whether it's your personal garden or at Lou Gardens? And I mean, or do you like say, okay, I mean, do you use the New Year as a timeline or other parts of the year as a timeline in terms of looking at what's being done in the gardens and what needs to be changed or improved?
Well, I do make some resolutions both for the way the gardens are managed and also for projects that I have at home. But I can tell you, being in a public garden, as dynamic as gardens can be, and especially when you deal with the public, I wish I could tell you that all of those resolutions come to fruition, but quite honestly, very few of them do. And the same thing at home. I have a long, long list of all these things I can do. Just a silly thing, for instance. I need to get in the practice of sowing lettuce seeds every 3 to 4 weeks apart. Okay? That way I don't have lettuce that's going to seed, which you can't eat, and I don't have any backup. But, you know, we get so wrapped up in, I don't know, looking for a new dishwasher or, you know, going to dinner for your anniversary, all the things that sort of get in the way, and then you don't do it, and then you're weeks behind. So, yeah, I wish I could, you know, I do make them. I do make those resolutions, but I wish I could tell you I kept them, but I rarely do. I rarely do. And that's sad, but it's
But don't you find that if you make a resolution, it at least puts you a little bit more ahead of the game than you would have been if you hadn't made any plans at all?
Oh, sure. I mean, my assistant has this board outside my office and has a list of things that I need to do, places that I need to be. Because I give 3 or 4 presentations every week to different groups, whether it be college groups or tours through the garden for a group, or give a presentation of some sort. And I just forget sometimes. And so it's not like I'm sitting in my office twiddling my thumbs. I'm doing other things, but probably a better way to spend my time. But sometimes it's just matter of the moment too. You have to do what you have to do.
Right.
But you're right. You are ahead of the game, at least if you put it on paper. I work best from lists anyway. How about you?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. So I wanted to ask you, because one of the things that I wanted to look into the beginning of the year before spring comes is my soil. And I wanted to ask about how you determine, I guess, what your soil is. I guess there's supposed to be a certain amount of acidity, and certain things can or can't grow in certain acidity levels in terms of the soil. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Sure. There is a scale from 0 to 14. And gardeners all over the world use that. And it has to do with the acidity or the alkalinity of the soil. So if you go to a garden center or to a home improvement store, they all have inexpensive soil test kits that you can buy. And the great news is you don't have to be a chemist to figure all this stuff out. They have very simple instructions. My 8-year-old daughter used to do it when she was small. And you just take a little bit of soil and you put it in a little plastic test tube. And then you put, there's a pill that you separate and you pour the contents into that. And then you add water up to the top and you shake it. And so you do that for the three big nutrients that you need. So your nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. But you also do it for your soil acidity. And so you do that on four different test tubes. It takes you 5 minutes to do this. And then you set it aside. And what happens over time, usually within 30 minutes or so, the soil settles out to the bottom of that little plastic test tube. And the water that's above that has changed color. It's not clear anymore. And that's because you put that little pill in there. Well, it comes with a little handbook, and all you do is take your test tube of nitrogen, let's say, and you put that up against the chart, the color chart, and it tells you how much or how little of nitrogen you have, and potassium, and phosphorus. And it also does it for pH. So most of the plants here in Central Florida prefer just a little bit acid soil. So you're looking at 6 to 6.5, something like that. So pine trees, roses, vegetables, they all like just a little bit of acid. Not a lot, but just a little bit. And that's pretty common. That soil, acidic soil, is common everywhere east of the Mississippi. That's most of the plants like slightly acidic soil. Now, when you go down into South Florida, though, because of all the limestone and all the marl and everything that's down there, it can get pretty alkaline pretty quick. And you can get a lot of acid west. You get a lot of alkalinity west of the Mississippi River as well. So what you have to do, you have to modify that in some way. Because if you don't, your plants don't have the ability to absorb the nutrients. So if your soil is more alkaline than acidic, then your plants can't absorb it. And let me tell you, you could put cupfuls around a single pepper plant, and if it doesn't have the right acidity, it can't soak it up. And so you're just wasting your money. So a great Christmas gift, top of my list, is, so I know it seems silly, but the gardeners are going to love this because it tells you exactly what you need in your garden. And you can pick one of these up usually at the cash register over by the at the garden center or at one of the home improvement stores. Go out to the garden center area, and they have these soil tests. They run $12, $15, something like that. And you can do several tests with that. But you don't need to do it about every 6 months or so. And you can look at it, compare it, and it will tell you right there how much of what you need to add to your soil to make it able to grow plants. So, again, you don't have to be a chemist. All the instructions are right there, and it tells you exactly how much you need. So things like azaleas and camellias, pine trees, and most of your tropical plants that we have here in Central Florida, they all like a little bit of acidic soil. So I know a lot of people are thinking, gosh, what should I get my gardener friend? Well, what about a gift certificate or a credit to one of those yards that sell potting soil and mulch and things? It seems kind of silly, but you know, if a raised bed, you've got to put soil in there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think about that, but we learned years ago. Everybody's really keen on growing vegetables and herbs, and they heard about this place out in Zellwood that sells mushroom compost. And I fell for it, so I bought a big load of mushroom compost, and I put it out in the garden at Lou Gardens, only to find out that mold, that potting soil, that compost is actually alkaline. And I put it on the garden before I tested it, and sure enough, my vegetable garden didn't do very well for a year or two because it just couldn't absorb the nutrients. So you don't want mushroom compost, for sure. I mean, that is the worst. But potting soil or raised bed soil you can get in these yards, or you can get individual bags from the garden center. Those work really well for you.
What about coffee grounds?
Yeah. You and I have talked about this before, and everything in moderation, okay?
Okay.
So what are coffee grounds? Coffee grounds are ground up seeds from the coffee plant. From the coffee plant, yeah. So they're obviously organic, right? It's just like chopping up leaves or chopping up foliage, you know, that is on your beans after you harvested everything. So it all decomposes. So they're slightly acidic, which is good. But again, everything in moderation. I have been to yards where people have taken their coffee grounds and mounded up around their individual plants and then call me and say, hey, my plants aren't doing very well. They have these little coffee ground volcanoes around their plants. Cannot do that. It's just far too acidic. And then you're really causing a lot of stress. But if you have sago palms, you can take coffee grounds and scatter underneath your sago palms, and it gets rid of that horrible, horrible scale, that white stuff that's on individual needles of that plant that would eventually kill it. So, again, everything in moderation. You know, the person that I went to see had an inn somehow at one of the Starbucks, and she got massive quantities and put it around everything. A standard household, you know, if you can save those coffee grounds once a week and then spread them out underneath your sago palms or put them out into your garden, it's not going to hurt a thing. Because you're not going to have enough of it to make any difference. So coffee grounds are fine. It's organic matter, and just like eggshells, they're fine too.
Because I know you could pick up coffee grounds at some Starbucks. I've seen sometimes there too.
Is that right?
Yeah,
and that's fine. I mean, like I said, everything in moderation. So you save up those you use at home, or you go to a coffee place and get some. Don't put it on inches thick. You just need to scatter it out. Just a little sprinkling is all these plants need.
Okay. We are going to take a quick break. We are here with Mr. Robert Bowden. He's Executive Director of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions for Robert, the number is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
A wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. You know, it's one of my favorite shows. It's Friday in the Garden with Mr. Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens. And if you have questions for Robert, the number is 516-387-1944. And so before I go to some other questions, let's talk about, we said we're going to mention some gifts. We know people are going to probably be spending the weekend shopping. So if you have a gardener or a wannabe gardener, we're going to kind of give you some tips. Robert has some ideas for you. You've already mentioned one or two. But, Robert, what else do you have in mind?
Well, for those people who are looking for gifts that aren't overly expensive, a really nice gift to gardeners, whether you're young or old, are little it's a little foam kneeling pad. So if you're out in your garden weeding, and you know your knees can get kind of sore, but having them on the ground, you can get a little foam kneeling pad that's about, I guess it's probably 15, 16 inches long and about 10 inches wide. And I know you're going to laugh when I say this, but sometimes if I have a few minutes, I'll go out into the garden, into the vegetable garden or the general garden at Lou, and I'll see a little patch of weeds that I have to weed, and I'm always in my good pants, you know. And my wife gets, you know, she understands, but you know, if I kneel on the ground, they're going to get dirty. So,
right.
Sometimes I put this kneeling pad in my cart, and I'll go out and pull a few weeds with that kneeling pad, so my knees don't get dirty. But it's actually much better if you. If your knees get sore, you just slap it down there on the ground and kind of enjoy that little cushion for your for your knees. Yeah. Now, there's other things that gardeners just really would enjoy. It's kind of hard to buy tools for any gardener because you're not sure what their skill level is. But if you can spend a couple dollars. One of the really best things you could get for a gardener would be a common wheelbarrow. Now, there are wheelbarrows and there are wheelbarrows. So
we know.
let me give your listeners just a few tips. Number one,
okay.
You want this wheelbarrow to last a long time.
Yeah.
So you don't want a metal wheelbarrow. You want a plastic one. So if you leave it out and it gets wet, you know, it might rust. And then, you know, you have to buy a whole new wheelbarrow after that. So get a plastic one. Now, the great news is on all of these wheelbarrows, they have replaceable handles. So if you buy a plastic body to a wheelbarrow, then all you have to do is replace the handles from time to time. I have a wheelbarrow that I use that's probably every bit of 40 years old, and I've replaced the handles probably a half a dozen times over those years because I keep mine outside, and so it just, you know, it just doesn't like that weather. The other important thing on a wheelbarrow is to get, and if it doesn't have it, you buy it and put it on before you give it to someone. And that is a solid core tire on a wheelbarrow. So you have a plastic wheelbarrow that'll last forever, and then you have a solid core tire. Because there's nothing, and believe me, there is nothing more aggravating than taking your wheelbarrow out to do a job only to have
the tire flat. Yes.
Oh, and there goes your time. You know, all of a sudden you've got to go find the machine to pump it up, and it's such a pain. So they make wheels that aren't inflatable. They're solid rubber. So they never, ever go flat. So between a plastic body and a solid core tire, you have the perfect wheelbarrow. Now, if your friend already has a wheelbarrow, but it has a regular tire, you can buy the solid core tires by themselves. That would be a great present too. So if you don't have the money to buy the whole thing, you could buy just the tire. And you know why I like giving gifts like this? Because every time that gardener uses that wheelbarrow, they'll be reminded of you. It's a great, great gift. Oh, I remember, you know, this wheelbarrow, my good friend Robert gave this to me. And every time they go out in the garden, they think of me. So I like that. I think that's a great idea. Wheelbarrows, I know it sounds silly, but a wheelbarrow is a great, great gift for a gardener. And
it
I think
it doesn't sound silly to me at all. No, I was going to say because we've had the flat wheelbarrow tire, you know, going out there because we have about a half an acre. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't – half an acre doesn't sound like a lot until you get the wheelbarrow and try to go from one end of the yard to the other.
Right, right.
So,
let me tell you something. When I bought my house 26 years ago, I've actually been at the garden. I've been director of the garden for 26 years now.
Wow.
And when I bought the house, I was looking for property because I wanted – to plant all these really cool plants, and I wanted to evaluate them here in my garden to see how they perform before we take them into the gardens and buy them or to plant them. Because if they died, we'd have dead plants in the gardens that would look really bad. But if they died in my yard, it wouldn't make any difference. So I had over 800 different plants in my yard at one time, and I loved to garden. Well, I was 40 then. And 2 acres was a lot of fun. I'm 67 now. It's not.
and they're still fun, aren't they, Rob?
Not every day. Every day is not as much fun as it used to be. So things like a wheelbarrow with a solid core tire sounds silly, but man, it sure makes my. I mean, that just gives me peace of mind knowing that I can get work done and I don't have to fix my tool. Before I actually start the work, you know. The other thing that is really helpful to a gardener is good, sharp pruning equipment. And you can go to the home improvement stores and maybe even some garden centers, and you can take a look at their inventory. But, you know, you really don't want to go cheap on pruners. Your handheld pruners are going to cost you almost as much as a nice wheelbarrow, but you will also have those pruners for the rest of your life. I have pruners that are probably every bit of 40 years old, and I guess I've replaced the blades occasionally, and I sharpen them every time I use them, but it really doesn't pay to go to one of the home improvement stores and buy one of these $14 pair of clippers because it's really not going to do the job that you want it to do. So we recommend either Corona or Felco, and you can get those online. Or, a good upscale garden center will have Corona or Felco. It's just important that they have replaceable blades. Not all of them do. So if a member of your family decides that they want to cut some wire and put a divot in your super sharp blade, then you can take it out and replace it. You don't have to throw those clippers away. So Felco is number one and Corona is number two. And then you're gonna pay some serious dollars for them, but again, every time they use them, they'll think of you. And you can sharpen them. And there is nothing better for plants when you're doing the work than having a nice sharp instrument to prune them. Otherwise, you're gonna be shredding the cut, and that's when diseases can get in there, and it gets really nasty, and ultimately could kill the plant. So pruning shears are really important. And then you can go up the next step with your loppers, you know, with a and long-handled pruning shears. And then beyond that, you can get a nice folding saw. Let me just, for a moment, let me just say something about those long-handled loppers. They make some loppers that are ratchet type. So you put it up next to the limb, and you have to pull them together multiple times to cut that limb. If it takes you that many times to prune that limb, you probably need to use a saw. But when I use loppers, I can make one swift cut. And if it takes more than that, I'm using the wrong tool. In a ratchet, sometimes it takes 7 or 8, you have to pull those handles together, sometimes 6, 7, 8 times before that branch comes up. That's 6 times the amount of work. And if you're out in your garden working, you're going to wear yourself out really, really fast. So stay away from the ratchet types. I know it seems like it would save a lot of time, and it's going to be a lot less wear and tear on the gardener, but the simple fact is you're just going to be doing triple and quadruple the amount of work. So if the branch is a half inch or less, you can use your pruning shears for that. If it's half inch to three quarters, maybe the size of your thumb, then you can use a lopper for that, those long-handled pruning shears. But if it's larger than your thumb, you probably need to use a saw. You need to use a folding saw. And Corona actually makes a very, very nice small 8 to 10 inch folding saw that you can just stick down into your bucket, and they're very, very sharp, and they can do a great job. So those are three tools right there that you can keep in your gardening bucket and know that where your plants are before you get started on your project.
We are going to take another quick break here. We are here with Mr. Robert Bouton of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. And if you have a question for Robert, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dip Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweeper is redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is Friday in the Garden here on G's Power Hour. I'm here with Mr. Robert Bouton of Harry P. Lou Gardens in beautiful Central Florida. And Robert, I wanted to ask you, too, we talked about making sure that you have really sharp pruning and lopping shears. Once you have a good set of those items, what do you use to clean them, and how often should you clean them?
Oh, that's a really good question, because people don't think about it. But if you cut the limbs of plants, some of the sap is going to get on there, and eventually that sap will dry, and it starts to cake on your tools, and then it'll start to stick. And you don't want that. You want it to be very fluid and very easy to use. You know, it's funny you should talk about this, because I was just talking about this yesterday with some people about how to clean the clippers and make them work well. It's going to be hard to explain, but there is a single tool that we use for our hand pruners that, and I'm going to, while I'm talking, perhaps you can try to find it. There's a little tool that you use mm-hmm. for hand pruners. It's green, and it comes in two pieces. One has a, it's hard to explain, but it's flat, and then it has a part that's upright. The whole thing is probably two or three inches long, and you can get them, I think, at Gardener Supply. I know you can get them at the gardens. But one of the problems with sharpening your tools is that oftentimes you use the wrong angle. And you can totally ruin a pair of clippers by making that sharpened bevel either too steep or not steep enough. And then you're pretty much out of luck. But there is a wonderful tool. And we, like I said, we sell it at the gift shop. And it's the only tool that I use now to sharpen my clippers, and it works so well. It's fairly inexpensive and will last you many, many years. Sharpener for pruning shears.
I'm looking for the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And I'm going to look in the image real fast because I'm not sure what you would call it. But if you look, if you go to Johnny's Selected Seeds, that is a great location for online for not only tools and things, but they're probably best known for their seeds. And they have heirloom seeds, and they have new varieties of seeds. It's one of those vendors that I use at the gardens a lot, and that's another great gift idea, is to get a gardener a gift certificate to one of these seed places, like Burpee Seed Company is a mm-hmm. wonderful organization, and you can get gift cards to that. Johnny's Select Seeds is one. We use that a lot. And then Territorial Seeds, you can all get gift cards to those places. This sharpener that I'm talking about is, it's $15 here. It's called a pruner sharpener. I don't know what else to call it, but it's simple mm-hmm. and inexpensive and puts a sharp new edge on your pruners or loppers at exactly the right angle every time. And that tool, believe me, is a lifesaver. So when I get done in the gardens for the day, you know, I'll take my tools and I'll hang them up. I always wash the dirt off, and I give it a little spray of WD-40 or some sort of lubricant. And I have tools in my garden that are every bit of 40 years old, and I've never had to replace them. So this pruner sharpener gives me the ability to put a real sharp edge on my pruners before I put them back into my garden bucket. So if you see something out in the yard that needs to be pruned, you can go into that garden bucket and know that the piece of equipment you're going to use is really sharp. So a pruner sharpener is an excellent, excellent gift for someone who has clippers. Or what I do is buy a pair of clippers and I buy this pruner sharpener at the same time and put it in the same box. Now, you're going to laugh at me, but I've done this for decades. And that is, when we hire a new gardener, we, of course, provide them with the tools necessary to do their job. And included mm-hmm. in that would be a hand pruner, you know, to prune roses or to prune bushes or to deadhead some perennials or something like that. So we give them a pair of pruners, and we give them a little leather scabbard that goes into. And in that leather scabbard, I always put a Band-Aid. And
okay.
These pruners are razor sharp. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're using new pruners, you're not sure exactly where your finger stops and the plant begins. So it's nice to be able to have a Band-Aid in there just in case. And I can tell you from experience that I hired someone, an older gentleman, to be a gardener, and I gave him his pruners and his little leather case to put it in that hangs on your belt and a Band-Aid. He came back to me later that day and was very, very upset that I put the Band-Aid in there, because he said, you know, I'm a professional. I've been gardening for longer than you've been alive. And I was just really insulted that you put a Band-Aid in there. I said, well, I didn't mean to be insulting, but it's kind of a joke, first of all. And two, it's been my experience that we give somebody new tools that sometimes you nip your finger a little bit. So I didn't mean to be condescending, but
right. Well,
later in the week, we were talking and we were walking through the private estate where we were working, and he said, "Hey, by the way, thanks for the Band-Aid. I needed it yesterday."
Yep. So you never know.
New
even the pruners best of
us. And it. Yep, happens to the best of us. That's exactly right. Yep.
Wow. So let me ask you, since we're talking about gifts for the gardener, what about the person that doesn't necessarily have a lot of land? They want to do, let's say, a patio garden or some indoor gardening.
Yeah.
What type of things do you recommend for that?
Well, number one, you could buy them a nice hanging basket to hang from the patio. There's nothing
okay.
better than looking out on your patio from your living room and see these beautiful flowers cascading from your ceiling. And you can get really inexpensive ones, and you can get very expensive ones depending on how you want to go. But you get wire hanging baskets with the metal chains, and there's a
mm-hmm.
usually like a what we call a core or organic fabric thing that keeps all the soil in, and then you just go and have them fill that with some kind of flowers. Most of the patios are behind screens, which reduces
mm-hmm.
the amount of light. And, you know, the hanging basket is going to be set back a little bit. So buy them the hanging basket and the necessary soil to go in it, and then let them choose the plants to go in it. But remember that, you know, you put the right plant in the right place, and that is going to require some plants that enjoy the shade. So you want to make sure that you don't go out and buy sun plants to try to put in that, because you're not going to get enough. You're not going to get enough sunlight for those plants to grow. So hanging wire hanging basket with a little core insert and a little bag of soil to fill that up would be really good. And then they can go to the store and buy the plants that they like. And again, every time they see that, they're going to think of you, because you bought it for them.
Okay, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And you can get them very expensive, or you can get them very cheap.
So what are we planting this time of year anyway?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, in your vegetable and herb garden, you should be planting everything. So
everything.
You have squash, tomatoes, broccoli, lettuce, cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, peppers. I'm going through my vegetable garden at home. Chives, oregano, thyme, marjoram, carrots, onions. All these things can be grown right now in the vegetable garden. And then outside.
I'm so hungry.
I just take a whole basket full of beans.
Mm-hmm.
We have standard green beans, you know, growing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't grow bush beans anymore. It's too hard to bend over to pick them up.
Okay.
So I grow everything on fences, wire fences. So I had green beans, and I had wax beans, and then I also planted these beautiful yellow flat Italian beans, and I use those in soup, and I use those just cooked by themselves with some bacon or some kind of smoked meat, and they are so good right out of the garden. So in the flower section, you want to be planting plants now that can withstand a little bit of cold weather in case it freezes. So whenever we anticipate cold weather at the gardens, you know, 26, 27 degrees, all of the news stations come out and say, what are you going to do? How are you going to cover up 50 acres of your garden? How are you going to do that? Well, we don't. Part of our responsibility in a botanical garden is to see what the limits of plants may be. So, you know, how much heat can it take? How much cold can they take before they get hit? But there are many, many flowering plants, bedding plants, annuals that you can plant now that can actually withstand cold temperatures, and they enjoy that. So that's what we plant this time of year. We don't go out and cover a lot of stuff up because, number one, we have 50 acres, and there's just no way we can do it. So we plant those plants that can withstand cold temperatures. So things like pansies and pot marigolds and alyssum, which is very, very fragrant. So carnations, you know, dianthus, all of these things can take frost. And if it gets cold, they're actually going to be a little happier. And when it gets cold, it kills a lot of the bugs too. So cold weather is not a bad thing. But if you're growing things like marigolds and things like that, you're going to have to cover those. So we don't plant those because we just don't have the resources or the time or the manpower to cover up 50 acres worth of flowering plants. So we plant those plants that we know are going to be able to withstand some cold temperatures. So, and this is the important thing too. Let me remind your listeners that just because it's for sale doesn't mean it's the right time to plant it in your garden. And I can't say that enough. People, especially in the summertime, you know, there'll be 10 different kinds of tomatoes on the rack that you can buy. Well, you don't grow tomatoes in July or August. They just won't make it. It's physically impossible for tomatoes to grow in the summertime, except for the little cherry tomatoes. But, you know, those big whoppers can't grow in the summertime in the heat. They just won't grow. So the stores are still selling them in hopes that you'll buy them because ultimately they're going to die. Then you have to buy more. So just because it's for sale doesn't mean it's the right time of the year to plant them. There's a lot of plants that you can be growing right now in your garden. Petunias are probably number one. They can actually take some cold weather and then bounce right back once it gets warm again. So there's lots and lots of stuff out there that you can grow this time of year.
Okay. One last break. We are taking a break. We are here with Mr. Robert Boughton, who is the executive director of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. It's Friday on in the Garden on G's Power Hour. The number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arglic. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good. Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Mr. Robert Bowden because it's Friday in the Garden here on G's Power Hour. And want to find out what's going on at Lou Gardens. And I know you've got, I guess, planning stuff for the new year coming up. You've got actually something going on right now that's going on through April. Is that correct?
That's right. We have an outdoor exhibit that was created by design students at the University, or I think it's at Iowa State, and it uses some really keen, unusual sculptures that they designed and created and built, and talks about different aspects of how you, as an individual, can play an important role in helping the environment. So, thanks to Orlando Health owner Palmer Hospital for Children for being the primary sponsor of that. And that will be up and available for guests to see through, I think, April 7th. And we also have a wide variety of classes as well. So the sculpture is great for small children and older people, grandparents as well. But at the gardens, we're having a yoga workshop, and we have a place, we have a class that will help you find where you can find the best shells of any beach. You know, you have a lot of relatives coming in from out of town. Wouldn't it be great to take them to a beach so they can go shell collecting and then take that to, a snow burdened Cleveland or something? You know, that would be kind of fun. We have a class on camellias. I'll teach that on January 11th. And if you ever wanted to grow camellias and you weren't sure which one to buy, or you weren't sure how to grow them, or you want to see some new varieties that maybe you hadn't seen before, and maybe a little bit of the history. How did camellias get to America when they're native primarily to Southeast Asia? So there'll be a little class at the beginning, and then they take a tour of the gardens with me. It takes another 45 minutes or so. So it's a great way to spend a Saturday morning touring the gardens. And then we have other walking tours there as well. So a lot of good classes, a lot of nice things going on at the gardens where your guests can come out and just enjoy the nice, casual, affordable day here in Central Florida.
And you're back in, you know, on the 6th of January doing your story time with Orange County Library System for the kids.
That's right.
That's right.
While the exhibit is up through April, we have foregone the free first Monday because we want people to come into the garden and enjoy the sculptures, and we can't give that away. So, but keep in mind that our plant sale is going to be the second weekend in March, and the sculptures will still be there. So if your listeners want to see the sculpture but they don't want to pay the $10 per person, they can do that at the plant sale. There are lots of other things going on, and I would encourage your listeners to come out and enjoy a great day. Today would be a beautiful day at the garden. It's a little breezy, but it's nice and warm, and it's a prelude to some bad weather we're going to get tonight and tomorrow, I think.
I heard Sunday is going to be foggy all day.
They said 100%.
One of the good things that you have, though, my husband and I came out to one of the free plant clinics, and that was actually very helpful for us. That's something that you all do with the Orange County Extension Service.
Every Wednesday.
And so that was, it gave us a chance to kind of just ask some questions and get our soil looked at. You know, we took a little soil in a Ziploc bag and had it looked at a little bit and was given some advice. So that was very helpful. And the good thing, too, also, that you guys are open on New Year's. I don't know if anybody knows that. So I might be running out there if the weather's good.
Yeah. We are open every day except Christmas Day.
Except Christmas.
So, okay. Except Christmas Day. After Mr. Lou, when he left the Yosemite Acres to the city of Orlando back in 1961, he said the card have to stay open every day,
mm-hmm.
except for Christmas Day. And so that's what we do. We encourage people to come out and just enjoy a beautiful daylight today, see the camellias in bloom, stop by our gift shop, maybe pick up some gardening things, or it's a great place to buy environmentally friendly little toys for grandchildren or your children. And there's hats and t-shirts, and there's all sorts of stocking stuffers and so forth. So it's a really great place to get some of those things that you might not find anywhere else. It's rated one of the best gift shops in Central Florida.
One thing I just saw when I was browsing through your website, you got something coming up on the 4th on collecting seashells in Florida, which I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't expect that from a mainland garden, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's good things. You can use them in so many different ways.
Sure. You know, our mission is to create an awareness and appreciation for plants and the environment of Central Florida. So anything dealing with the environment, whether it's at the beach or in a forest or in a public garden like we have, we help people have a better awareness and appreciation for those things that might interest them. So the shell class is really an excellent, excellent class. It helps you decide what are some of the better places to go to get the shells, and it's where to find living and fresh dead marine mollusks along the Florida coast. And Christopher Stalder, he's the instructor. He's a U of F grad, and he has worked with the U.S. Department an environmental scientist, so and a member of the Beekeeper Association. So he has a really broad background and offers natural history programs around the state on many subjects, including snakes and butterflies and beekeeping. So he's just a wealth of information. I know that people that have taken that class have learned so much, and now they, you know, they take notes and they know where they can go to get the best shells. And like you say, you can give them as gifts or you can use them around the house for crafts. So I've taken that class before and it is really interesting.
We got a little less than 2 minutes left, Robert. Any other last minute gift suggestions that you have for the gardener and everybody's life?
I have a recommendation for those people that are growing Christmas cactus and poinsettias. Chances are those poinsettias came in a very beautiful foil pot that's nice and shiny. And then there's the plastic pot inside of that. I would encourage your listeners to take that foil off of that plastic pot, water the plants in a kitchen sink or somewhere, water them nice and so they're wet all the way through. Wait for that water to drain out and then put them back in the foil liners. If they continue to water and water sets in that foil liner, which protects your furniture and your countertops, if it stays in water, those poinsettias are going to die. And the same thing with any of the other Christmas plants that your listeners may be using, like Christmas cactus. So take them out of the foil, water them thoroughly, let them drain out thoroughly, and then put them back in that liner, and they'll do great. But they do not like wet feet. They like it moist, but they don't like it dry, and they don't like it wet, soft and wet. So take that foil off, as pretty as it may be, water it, and then put it back in the foil before your house guests come.
Robert, thank you so much. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family and the crew out at Lou Gardens. Appreciate your time.
I'll be sure to pass those along. Thank you very much, and same to you and your family. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all your listeners as well.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening, and you probably won't hear me live until after the new year begins. So I want to wish you a blessed Christmas and New Year, and be safe and enjoy each other, and remember the reason for the season. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. Have a blessed day, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care. ¶¶